Welcome to What the Fact, powered by Pad Squad. I am Rich Cost, and we are keeping you up to mobile speed. So what the fact is user experience? What does that really mean, and why is it important? What makes it good, and what is the effect that it has on viability and viewability of all sites, as well as the impact on advertising and branding messaging? Joining us today in the Pad Squad room is noted lead engineer from Pad Squad, our own Sina Jazayeri. Hello, Sina. Welcome to the show.
All right, thank
now,
you.
You have the team responsible for the incredible functionality and engagement wonder that has become Pad Squad. And how did you find your way to this role?
First of all, thank you for having me here. I was told there would be free Kit Kats.
I forgot the Kit Kats.
So I came.
Oh, okay. That's so the interview's over. Interview's over.
That's all right.
I didn't make it to the Kit Kat store.
Okay, that's all right. All right, well, how did I end up here? So I've been doing programming for about 10 years now. I've always been interested in building things that do cool things, but they also look good. So I've always loved the visual aspect of software and software engineering. And that's partly because of my background. You know, I come from kind of a creative environment with music and video production.
And you actually have your own blog too.
I do have my own blog.
Do you want to give it a little plug?
Yes, sure. So it's called The Drunk Web. And it's exactly what it sounds like.
The Drunk Web.
The Drunk Web.
Drunk
yeah.
Web. So everybody check that out, The Drunk Web. And is it drunkweb.com?
It's thedrunkweb.com. But I also realized that I could transfer all the programming skills from the hardcore computer science classes into Flash and write something, some programs that were visually beautiful, as opposed to having a few dots move around the screen, because that was my the C++ days, the first two or three classes I had. That's what we were producing, and I'm like, this is great, but it's a lot of code to do so little. There's benefits to languages like C++, they're obviously there for a reason, but that's not what I wanted to get out of computer programming. So I figured I can merge the two skills, having the creative side, mm-hmm. but also programming, merge the two, kind of like a lot of cool kids did back then.
That's when the web was actually kind of exploding. It was growing very rapidly.
Yeah.
They were in need of people that were going to be able to have that creative sense as well as the technical sense,
right.
is to be able to design and develop a website and also the functionality of that website.
Yeah, it's true. And even today, we're still, I don't know, it's 10, 15 years later, we're still suffering from that disconnect between designer-developer skills. You know, the designers are now realizing that they need to know at least some programming. And a lot of developers like myself, we're becoming more design-oriented. You know, we're understanding design more and more because it's, that disconnect is so huge. So we want to close that gap.
What do we mean when we talk about a user experience?
So
how would you define it?
Yeah, user experience, or more specifically, UX design. Really, it's just an attempt at making things in such a way that people like to use them. Right? So the goal is to minimize frustration and maximize pleasure for the user while they're using the product.
And when we say product, you mean the website, the mobile site, or the desktop site, or
yeah, in our case, yeah. But you could take user experience to any sort of design, even industrial design. You know, you look at a physical radio box,
right.
and it's got some level of user experience design. So it's basically what the user experiences, what they go through when they're interacting with you. So in our case, yeah, it will be the graphics and all the buttons and all the things that you can put here or there, and that totally changes the experience.
So what makes a good user experience, like from a website perspective?
So in the case of websites, almost always the user's there for the content, especially when we're talking about publishers. User shows up, and whether they came from Facebook or someone sent them a link or they found it through search, they're there to see the content. So we want to get out of the way, allow them to do what it is they're there to do, and not really get in the way too much. But you want to make sure that you don't take away from the main experience, from the main purpose of why the user is there.
So it could be to book a trip. It could be to watch a video. It could be to do a search through recipes. So the end result is why the person is coming to the website and their user experience once they get there.
Right.
Because you do want them to engage with the content that's being sent to them.
Right. Yeah, and that doesn't mean that things like advertising can't enhance that experience. If you are, say, booking a trip to Hawaii, you know, you always see these ads, you know, you book your plane ticket, it's like, oh, do you want a car too, or do you want this and that? And, you know, there's value there. That's not something completely out of the ordinary. So that, in that context, it makes sense.
And so when we do introduce advertising into a user experience, from a development perspective, how do you think that impacts a user experience? From a marketing perspective, I know that we're really happy when that happens.
Right.
We like to have the proliferation of content. We like to have the branding messages surrounding relevant content. From a developer's perspective,
So when you introduce ads, you're giving away three things: real estate, bandwidth, and CPU power. Those are precisely things you need to optimize if you want solid performance and good user experience. And that's not specific to ads. Every time you allow any third party into your code, you're doing exactly that. So it's tempting for me as the gatekeeper to just outright say, no, we can't allow that.
and some publishers have been known to do that.
Right.
Developers.
But then that would make me what Manny from Yieldbot calls developer diva. So you don't want to be a developer diva.
Developer diva.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what it also does though, it closes a lot of doors on meaningful partnership relationships. And advertising can be one of them. And it also, you know, advertising, there's this other part, which is that it happens to pay for the very existence of all these products, all these sites that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole dance between, you know, core product and third-party additions is Beauty and the Beast? The tale is old as time.
It is the tale of the oldest time. I mean, I've been in marketing for a long time. I've done print media, digital media, broadcast media, and it's always the same question: as we have content and we have advertising, and there's usually a separation of church and state. and this goes back to our discussion that we were having previously.
Yeah.
Is that you need to maintain an editorial identity.
Right.
And there has to be an opportunity for advertising to support, complement, supplement that identity.
The discussion tends to sometimes not go anywhere because, you know, arguments from both sides have the tendency to be a little bit one-sided. You know, so we have to agree that there's value in both parties. So it's a very difficult balance between understanding the value of monetization through advertising in this case. But also recognizing that the value of user experience is that, you know, if you don't have good experience, none of this matters anyway. You know, users just gonna leave and they're never gonna come back, so it doesn't matter how much third-party code is there or not, you know. And we're kind of used to this by now. We're used to good user experience.
When we talk about advertisers, talk a lot about contextual relevance. Plus they want to reach high impressions, and they want engagement, they want viewability, and they need it all in a premium environment. So that obviously means they need a good user experience. Is there a true way to have that all?
Well, again, not to be a developer diva, but I think here's where we have to start. I think as a community, as a unit, we need to first come to an agreement that, look, the user came to the page with an intention. Usually is to see the content. That's a good place to start. From there, then we can try our best to introduce them to, you know, relevant, interesting, non-intrusive advertising that will hopefully enhance their experience as opposed to take over what they were, you know, what the intention was to begin with. So all of those things that advertisers want, is it possible? I think so. But it's really difficult to find that balance again, because we tend to be biased towards what our intention as whether, you know, engineer or advertiser is, we have to, you know, unless people constantly remind themselves of what the user is experiencing, they're going to miscalculate that balance of content and advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have this sense of empathy for what the user is going through, and then we can make better decisions. Yeah.
Right, it really is about what the consumer is there for.
Right.
And then how you can enhance
it, right,
the experience that they're in there for, and then what they follow and how it follows through. When an advertiser is looking at a website, at a mobile site, what should they be looking for to assess that viability, to assess the success of that site?
The whole point of having a good user experience, and I think the whole reason I'm here, is to talk about the fact that, you know, the user experience is there so that user would enjoy your product and they would come back and then they would share it with their friends, right? So, you know, this design is not just about functionality, it's also about quote-unquote delighting the user. So having an experience that strikes a positive emotional response, we don't even think about that in most cases, right? We're just like, hey, here's my thing, my product or whatever I'm selling, here you go. We just put it in front of the user. But having an emotional response from the user, it means that they're probably gonna wanna come back at some point, right? It's our only chance to convince them to come back, to give them a good experience. So the greatest ad in the world is not gonna do that by itself. But a pleasant experience, on the site or on the app, and then advertising can add to that, right? So I think advertisers need to remember that the you know, the experience is what people come back for. So if you want people to come back and have more viewability, more impressions, and more visits, pay attention to the experience itself, you know, because that's what brings people back.
Because they didn't go to that site necessarily to see that app.
Right.
They're not tuning in. They don't tune into television.
Right.
To watch a commercial, although I do, but most people do not actually seek out an advertiser's message. So it does make much more sense for it to take into consideration the environment in which an advertiser is first, why those people are coming there, why they've chosen to go to that destination or utilize that medium, and then be able to complement that experience.
Absolutely, yeah. At Pat's Club, we try really hard to do that. We try to have a sense of empathy for the user, like I said, and introduce them to an experience that makes them want to come back. You know, that has value. Think about the Apple Store. If there's an Apple Store on my way home, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go inside, check out a couple of things, even though I don't need anything. I'm going to go in there and check it out, talk to a bunch of geniuses and, you know, high five them and come out. why? Because I don't think I'm alone, by the way. I think people do go to Apple Store even if they don't need anything. And why is that? The experience is pleasant, you know. So we try to do that. We try to, regardless of the size of the publisher, whether they have 100 visitors or 100 million visitors, we try to get the experience to be pleasant for the user, so they come back. I mean, it's actually not it's kind of a selfish thing to be perfectly honest, because we want to give them a good experience, but we want to give them a good experience so that they would come back, so we have more visits, right? So I think it's a smarter way to think about how we can get more audience, as opposed to, hey, let's sell everything we have to our current user base, even if we're going to lose them in the future because the experience is so bad. So I think it might be a little bit more long-term investment to invest in things like the latest technology, the cutting edge, whatever animation it is you want to do. Pay attention to those things so that you could kind of create a home base for people to come back to.
I almost see it, and you can always correct me if I'm wrong, I almost see it as if when you brought up the Apple Store, I think of it as almost a boutique hotel experience as opposed to staying at a very large chain hotel.
Right.
But that's actually how they win over customers, is that they do give you a bit more personal service. They do give you more amenities. They do give you perhaps a more focused opportunity for your stay. So you don't have to necessarily have the convenience, the shininess of a very large chain, but then you have the very quiet nature of a small boutique, and that they actually do give you better service, there's more engagement, right. And then you tend to come back to that.
Right.
Because you do respond to that one-on-one personality, and when I think about the sites that Pat Squad optimizes and serves and powers, it is a lot like that boutique hotel experience.
Right.
These are content sites that basically build a lot of content, have a secure amount of followers,
right.
And what we're doing is giving a better experience not only to the publishers, because they now have a beautiful technologically advanced site,
right.
But they now have now consumers who are going to their site are also enjoying an ease of use. They're able to get to content quicker. They're able to see videos faster, and they're able to engage with our advertisers.
Right. Correct. Yeah. I mean, if you compare, I always think of it this way: compare McDonald's to a steakhouse. You want to get the steakhouse quality, but bring down the cost so everybody can use it. Everybody can buy it, like the McDonald's, but you want things to be affordable for people. You want everybody to have access to those things. I mean, I guess everybody in any business, they're going to have to ask themselves, what do I want to be? Do I want to be them? As opposed to a steakhouse that, you know, caters to fewer but has higher quality, or something in between, you know? So thanks to technology, I think we can have the benefits of the steakhouse, but without the cost.
You can actually focus more on the outcome rather than focusing so much on the cost.
Right. Yeah, and if I can, come full circle with this, is, you know, if you have a good experience, everybody's going to win together, theoretically. You know, you have a good product that people like to use, and it's well thought out. Every aspect of the interaction and the interface has been, you know, carefully examined. And that that experience as a whole is going to allow people to feel good about the product, and hopefully they'll come back to your site, so you have more impressions and you can have those the viewability that you were asking for. You know,
it truly is about the experience that you're going to give to a consumer, and what we should impart. If you're a publisher, you should be looking at ways to engage your consumers when they're coming to your site. And if you're an advertiser, you should be looking for a way to make sure that you are engaging the most appropriate consumer, but also in the most appropriate manner. We're going to definitely continue this conversation,
yes.
Because, again, it is a conversation that has been since the beginning of time,
yeah.
That content has been delivered. And I love the fact when you call it, you equated user experiences anytime you have an interaction with a product.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
You have a marker right behind you, the whiteboard. These markers, they were built in a way that the cap is gonna click into the bottom of the marker. Someone thought about that, you know, and they said, well, people are losing the caps so often. Maybe there is a way we can fix this problem. That's user experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And next time you think your influence in the job is going to affect the user experience, think about that.
Yeah. Just always remember that it's a premium user experience creates higher viewability and engagement. And so when you think about a UX, the next time you visit a URL,
right,
you should definitely keep in mind what that user experience should be and what is good for you.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sina. That's wonderful.
Of course.
Thank you for defining UX, how important it is, and then not only considering publishing content, but also marketing the messages. And thank you for listening. Be sure to visit us on PadSquad.com and tell us what you think. Join us next time when we explore the creative evolution that accompanies a premium user experience with our guest, Joe Lazo from the Interactive Advertising Bureau. I'm Rich Koss for What the Fact, powered by PadSquad, keeping you up to mobile speed.